This is the Star Trek Voyager Rewatch Podcast, Episode 4.
The infuser will keep his oxygen level stable for the next hour or so, but after that, he'll die. His lungs have been removed.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Star Trek Voyager Rewatch Podcast. I am your host, Brian Mission, and this week we will review and discuss Season 1, Episode 4, entitled Phage. This episode was released on February 5th, 1995. Before I get started, I decided I was just going to give everybody an update as to the status of the show. I know if those of you have been listening, I know I got definite dedicated listeners out there who have been asking me what the status of the show is. It is still active. Just over the last couple of weeks, I had been working on my podcasting network that I'm doing with a friend of mine, and I have been working on getting that set up. So I kind of put this on delay just a little bit, but I am back and doing this, and I intend to keep this up every week. But if you do want to see what else we are doing, I have a couple shows that are going on right now, and you could check out that at podcasturbia.com. That's podcasturbia. That's podcasturbia.com. I'll put a note for this in the show notes on voyagerrewatch.blogspot.com. Eventually, this show is going to be moved over to the Podcasturbia site, where we are doing a couple weekly shows there, and this one will be added to that format. One of the other shows we're doing, just for a little background there, we're doing a kind of a general topic show. There's currently a sports-related show, which is currently focusing on football. And then there is another show over there that is brand new, just started this week, and it's a review kind of thoughts and analysis show about the new television show on Fox called Terra Nova. So if you're interested in any of that, definitely head over to podcastderbia.com. You can actually get to the Terra Nova one specifically by going to terranova.podcastderbia.com. Okay, that's enough of that as to what I've been doing, but I do want to thank all of those of you that have sent me emails and comments. I do appreciate the participation and the concern as to the status of the show, and we'll definitely be doing more as we move forward. Well, let's get into this week's episode. This one was a good episode. It was actually one of the favorites by the creators and was actually well received by the fan base. And again, this is from season one. This is episode 4, called Phage. Quick little background on what happened in the show. I'm going to be reading this, some of this from Wikipedia's site, giving the description. So I'll give them credit for that. And I'll also be just kind of throwing in a few things along the way that, just to fill in the blanks there. But as Wikipedia puts it, in the course of helping to investigate a network of caverns in a planetoid for dilithium deposits, Neelix is attacked by a previously undetected alien and left in a state of shock. He is beamed directly to sickbay, where it's found out that his lungs have been transported out of his body. The doctor is able to keep him alive by projecting a pair of holographic lungs into his torso using the sickbay's holographic emitters. The description doesn't actually include a kind of fun scene that occurred just before it. This episode's definitely about Neelix and a bit about the Doctor, so it's kind of a neat show. But this very beginning of this show, Janeway goes into her private mess quarters and finds that Neelix had turned it into basically a galley, a kitchen, and it's just got tons of food going in there, people coming in and out getting food. So it's kind of a fun scene, but it's something to keep in mind and remember, because he's going to become the ship's cook eventually. And this is kind of the start of that right there. But and we continue. On Janeway leads a away team to try to find out who stole Neelix's lungs. They go back onto that that planetoid that they were on, and discover that there really is no dilithium to be found. Rather, that there's this network of caverns in there where it's almost like a little facility for storage of mainly respiratory organs. They encounter some aliens while there, and they were able to obtain a device used by the aliens that they believe is the device that removed Neelix's lungs. They find out through investigation that it is a very highly advanced medical and surgical instrument. The aliens escape the planetoid, and Voyager goes in pursuit. While they're doing that, they are able to catch up with them at another, like an asteroid that's just kind of floating out there. But they don't believe that the asteroid was actually formed naturally. When they get there, they were able to navigate through it and find themselves in a big empty cavern inside of it. And there they see reflections of Voyager and of the alien ship. Through a method of using their phasers, they're able to reflect the phasers off of the kind of mirrors that are there and are able to find out where the other enemy ship is. They then go ahead and transport the two aliens that were on board that ship aboard Voyager and put them in the brig. This follows a interrogation with Janeway that is, you know, I don't have a quote from it this week because I found it to be a very uncomfortable scene. Janeway goes in through interrogating them, discovers that they're a race known as the Vidians, and they've been suffering for generations from a disease called the phage. They explain the only treatment for this disease is to replace their decaying or their degenerating organs. And they do so, they harvest organs from, you know, usually dead beings, newly dead beings. But in turn, you know, sometimes they need to take drastic measures and actually do harvest organs from live beings. The uncomfortable moment in this scene was with Janeway realizing that Neelix's lungs have already been transported into one of those two aliens, or surgically added to him. Therefore, they would be unable to recover the lungs because, as though Janeway kind of has this conflict here, she's against everything that they just did, but she's not willing to condemn them either, just by taking the lungs back to give to Neelix. So she gets really kind of angry with them. It's kind of a off scene for me, to be honest. But anyway, we'll go into that later. The aliens, though, do offer to try to, you know, make it up to Janeway and the crew by helping Neelix. What they're able to do is use their advanced medical equipment that we had discovered earlier and determine that there could be lungs added to him. They could transplant a new lung into Neelix. They would just need a donor. And they determine that just about everybody on ship is a valid donor for Neelix, something that the doctor was determined earlier that there would be no options other than to use these holographic lungs for the time being until they would possibly be able to get Talaxian lungs or Neelix's own lungs back. The aliens are able to go ahead and use one of Kes's lungs as she had volunteered for this, and they use that and put one of her lungs in Neelix, thus saving him and allowing him to be free of this holographic lungs and no longer required to stay in sick bay for what was expected to be the rest of his life. Following the end of this, Janeway allows Neelix to continue with his idea of being the ship's cook and kind of forming this galley, though they'll discuss later if it's going to be in her, you know, former mess quarters or not. And the doctor also discusses with Janeway that Kes would be a good person to train as the nurse or assistant to him in there. In sickbay. And she gladly accepts. And that there is pretty much the episode. I enjoyed this episode. It really focused on two characters here. It focused a little bit on Neelix, even though kind of the whole show was focused around the idea of his survival. You got to know him a little bit and his relationship with Kes. They did have a few nice moments there where, you know, early on when he was first brought to sick bay, you know, she was not willing to leave his side at all. She offered right away, use my lungs, you know, to save him. And he in turn had some moments where when he was brought back to consciousness when the holographic lungs were put into him, he didn't want to live like that, and he wanted her, you know, gave her some, you know, words to, you know, go move on and, you know, don't worry about me. You need to live your life and not sit in this room with me forever. because as I didn't explain in the recap of the show, the holographic lungs were placed in him, but he was not able to move. They actually had to kind of keep him almost in this confinement that would allow him not to move more than 2 microns in order for the lungs to stay in the exact position they needed to stay in order to feed oxygen throughout the body. But it was nice to see there was kind of a build on that relationship there. You got to see a little bit of Neelix's jealousy as Tom Paris, who was helping out in Neelix's recovery, kind of gave Kes some nice words saying, if you need me, I'll be right back. And Neelix was a little obviously jealous because of that. So there's a little exploration of those characters right there. And as of course, as I said before, you know, on the Neelix side, they had the kind of introduction to Neelix as the cook. We had kind of heard about it a little bit in previous episodes when Neelix was having his idea of, you know, providing them food ideas with the vegetables that are grown in the hydroponics bay. So he had finally got his chance to start making some foods. And you know, it's the Neelix that those of you who have seen the show to the end, this is kind of the start of that Neelix as the cook. The other character that really gets a lot of time in this show and is the Doctor. And this is kind of really the first time we get to know the Doctor a little bit. And we kind of see his ability to think beyond just being, you know, beyond his programming. He really has a few moments there where he, you know, he came up with the idea to create that holographic lung. He didn't have as many funny moments in this show, and I do have a couple quotes from the Doctor later, as we will have our weekly Doctor quotes. Really only one funny moment in there. Most of them were actually really serious segments with him where he was trying to, trying to find ways to help Neelix, two, trying to find ways to console him and, you know, show some bedside manner that he obviously is starting to realize he's lacking because of his programming, and that he also shows frustration that he knows he wasn't programmed to do this, yet it's obvious he's going to be needed to do this for quite some time. So there's a lot of Doctor moments here where we really kind of get to know him a little bit more, whereas in the previous 3 episodes, we had like little snippets of the Doctor, kind of almost as the comic relief, whereas this week was really more of a serious episode with the Doctor. Other than that, you know, like I said, my feelings on this show was well received by the viewers. This show was praised by even those who created it. It was, looking back, one of their favorite shows. How it fits into Voyager at this time in the series, being just the 4th episode, we got back to a little bit more character development, something we were missing in the previous week's episode. It was where last week, the last episode we discussed, was more of just a kind of goofy time travel episode. This one had some character development. It introduced another race, the Vidians, who we will see more of throughout the series. I believe they're in another, you know, half dozen episodes or so. So we will encounter them again. And, you know, we're able to get a little bit note. So this was, like I said, this was kind of like a Neelix episode, but not. It was really more of a Doctor episode. You kind of got to see a lot of him. And then there was, you know, some Janeway moments. There wasn't much of the other crew. You had a little bit of B'Elanna. You had a little bit of Chakotay. But it was primarily, as I said, it was primarily in sickbay most of this episode, other than the moments where they were on the the aliens' storage facility there, where they had all of the organs that were being stored. As far as other races, like I said, the Vidians were introduced. We got to know a little bit about them, and you know, they've been suffering for generations from just their organs degenerating, and their only way to survive was to use this advanced technology that they have. And it's a neat race to have in there, because it could impact, like I said, I know they're in about 6 more episodes, so we're going to definitely have some episodes where we'll see them coming up in the future, where they will be probably interacting with other races, and maybe there could be some conflict there. So it kind of builds a character that, you know, we're not really going to like them. They almost kind of came back as empathetic at the end. You kind of felt some sadness towards them in their situation, and that was kind of Janeway's conflict, the scene that I talked about, which just kind of didn't sit well with me, mainly because I'm not sure that Kate Mulgrew acted it well. And reading some of the history and some of her comments about that scene, she had a tough time performing that scene because she needed to be angry that they would just openly take lungs from one of her now crew members. But at the same time, she kind of felt sorry for them and didn't want to do to them what they did to Neelix. And so there was this kind of conflict that she had there. But it just, if you've watched it or haven't watched it and go back and watch it, you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. It was just felt like a little awkward scene. Some of the anger felt forced rather than genuine. And but it's also a side of her we haven't seen yet. We haven't really seen her be angry, like on the verge of raging. And that's kind of where you felt like, you know, the actor was trying to make the character feel. But it didn't quite set well for me. Other than that, like I said, it was a neat episode. It got, you know, again, my favorite character being the Doctor, got us to introduce more of him, and there we go. This week for some quotes, some regular quotes and moments from the show, I have a couple of them here. One of them is a nice Neelix moment, and one of them is a Doctor moment. The Neelix moment is sad. It's just after he's realizing that he's stuck in this kind of stasis almost, where he can't move, and though he's alive, what is he? I mean, he's just there. And here's Neelix having his kind of little panic attack.
I'm going to lie here for the rest of my life, aren't I? Just staring up at the ceiling. I'm not sure I can take that. I really need to get out of this restraint. Doctor, I want you to let me out of this thing right now.
You know that's impossible.
I'm the patient. I know what my rights are. I want to be released from this restraint immediately.
Earlier in the scene, he was kind of just, there was this sense of aloneness because though he was in the room with the Doctor, he couldn't see him, and he just kind of was starting to really think about his situation, and then had the moment there where he just was like, I don't care. If I can't live as a freely moving man, I just would rather not live at all. So, you know what, release me and I'll take my chances, is pretty much what he was saying there. And he would then go on to kind of have a little bit of a, he started to hyperventilate, had a little bit of an attack, and the Doctor at first kind of looked confused, but then when you realize as the scene plays out, the Doctor really wasn't looking confused. He was more realizing his limitations, that here's a person, a member of the crew that he really wants to help, and he doesn't know how to do it, doesn't really have anything, any good answers he can give Neelix that it's going to be okay. So there was a real moment there with the Doctor following that was more of a visual moment than a dialogue, that is kind of sad for the Doctor, and again, sad following up on that with Neelix, just that he feels trapped and there's just nothing more he can do, and he'd rather, like I said, take his chances than live that way. This next scene that I have is Kes and the Doctor. The Doctor's just kind of struggling with what's going on, this whole situation. It's a pretty big segment I have here of a much larger scene, but where Kes is just trying to reassure him that everything he's doing here is good and that he's more than just the program he is. So let's listen.
First they tell me there's no doctor, so I have to be on call 24 hours a day. And then they tell me there are no nurses, so I have no one to assist me.
I thought Tom Paris was assigned here.
Like I said, no one to assist me. And now I have a patient with severe and possibly long-term emotional problems, and there's no counselor on board. I am an emergency medical supplement. A supplement. That's all. I wasn't programmed for any of this. It's just unacceptable.
I don't know anything about holographic engineering, but if you want my opinion, you haven't been acceptable. You've been remarkable.
I've only done what the program allows me to.
Give yourself some credit. You saved his life. You did, not some program.
And right there, I mean, you can see the Doctor's frustration that he knows, based on his program, what he's intended to do, and that he's being continuously asked to do more. And it is frustrating to him. You can definitely hear it in his voice there. And Kes was nice there to basically just reassure him that, listen, you're more than your program. You've gone outside your programming. You created these artificial lungs. That was your idea, to save Neelix. Because Neelix, basically, when he came back to the ship, they put on a temporary device to kind of oxygenate Neelix's blood. But the problem with that is it was only going to be good for about an hour before his the toxins in his blood reached a toxic level. So it was, you know, like I said, it was a moment there for him where he's just obviously finally had his frustration and something that had been building, you know, throughout the previous episodes. But because we spent so little time with the doctor, we didn't realize how much he was impacting him. So that was his moment there. He did have a little kind of slightly humorous moment in the middle of that scene. And I felt, though, it's nice because, you know, he does have that kind of sarcasm to him. You know, a guy who has no bedside manner, but he kind of has a sarcastic wit. That he said, you know, nobody's helping me here. I have no help. And Cass is like, well, I thought Tom Paris was helping you. And he's like, yeah, like I said, I have no help. So it was a little awkward throwing that in the middle there. So it's like he still has a sarcasm, even though he's frustrated. Again, a nice little moment. Great character. You know, he is my favorite for a lot of reasons. And this episode shows why. And that's going to lead us right into our doctor's quotes of the week. I do have two this week. One of them is the one humorous moment in the show. I'll play that for you first. And then the next one is kind of a great moment for the doctor in the show. And we'll start with the funny one first.
I think his cellular toxicity level is rising. It's up to 32%. Let's see if we can stabilize those levels. Get me a cytoplasmic stimulator. We don't have one. Then replicate one. Yeah. The design schematics are in the ship's medical database. The man drives a 700,000-ton starship, so somebody thinks he'd make a good medic.
Yeah, this was the, like I said, the funny little moment at the end there, but it was kind of a longer scene. I kind of edited out a lot of uncomfortable pauses in that scene, but basically the doctor's like, trying to use his assistant, you know, the one that was assigned to him. And, you know, this kind of goes with that other clip we played a little earlier, was that Tom's there to help, but he doesn't really know anything to do it. And, you know, Tom was put there because he took some biology related classes at the academy, but, you know, he's not a medic and he doesn't know the procedures. You know, he knows, okay, I'll go get this device. Okay. Well, we don't have one. What do I do? Well, then just make one. Okay. How do I do that? You know, he's not prepared to do this. And it's, again, another, though we had the funny moment with the, you know, hey, he can drive this huge ship with all this technology and he doesn't know how to, you know, follow simple directions, doesn't know how to really do anything here. So whose idea was this to take the ship's pilot and make him my nurse? So it's kind of like the doctor's little moment there. This next one is where the doctor is discovered a way to maybe save Neelix as they are running out of options, as Neelix's life is starting to run out.
What are you doing? I'm using the transporter matrix to get exact specifications for Neelix's lungs.
I thought you just said we can't replicate his lung.
We can't. But if I can reconfigure my emitter array, I might be able to create a pair of holographic lungs for Mr. Neelix.
Holographic lungs?
If it's successful, we can precisely control his pulmonary functions to allow normal breathing.
That was where the doctor like had his moment. This is outside of his program. This is one of those kind of big moments for him because it's going to, you know, support later shows with the doctor where he is more than just a program. He's able to evolve and become part of the crew. And he made a medical decision, and he says later in another scene, you know, it was a brilliant idea by me, you know, because he was able to, again, think outside his programming, and he decided, you know what? There's medical means that I'm trained for, and yet this is a situation I'm not trained for, so I'm just going to come up with something that I hope will work. And he discovered the idea by looking at how the replicators work, that if he could use his holo emitter, I can, hey, make my lung. There's a nice moment in that scene as well. It's kind of a funny moment where Tom Paris says, you know, I thought the, you know, the holographic stuff, you know, couldn't, how is it going to be able to transport air way, you know, through the lungs when it doesn't really have any real mass, and basically saying that to the doctor, well, you're not real. And the doctor turns around, just like slaps Tom Paris right across the face, and then goes on to an explanation as to how the hologram works. So real kind of a little humorous scene there, but something that wouldn't come across on a clip. So that pretty much takes us to the end of this week's episode. As I said, my final thoughts on it were just, you know, I liked it. I thought it was good. I thought it had, like I said, a couple awkward moments in it, mainly the Janeway scene with interrogating the the Vidians, but it was a nice scene. It was a doctor show. You know, I like that. And, you know, I do like the Neelix character as well. So it's kind of nice to get a little bit of a feel for Neelix in there. You know, I hope you all enjoyed it and, you know, look forward to next week's show. Next week we have episode 5 of season 1 called The Cloud. And the quick little bit on that is the crew enter a nebula to collect samples before realizing that it is actually a living organism. So we'll definitely have a nice, big, fun episode there. Ways you can contribute with the show. You know, before I log off here, we'll just let you know that you can go ahead and email me at VoyagerRewatch@gmail.com. You can also visit the site and place comments on these shows at VoyagerRewatch.blogspot.com. You can find me and some other programming at podcasterbia.com. And from there, I do also have email links and other shows and ways you can contact the show. So thank you for listening this week, and you look forward to seeing you next week as we go over episode 5. See you next week.